654 Roars, and I'm going to lie to you, are feeling it today. A lot of good commentary on the phones, a lot of good commentary on the Adams Curving text line. Get those thoughts in. Ben and I each have some more thoughts on this game as well. We'll get to it some more. You have thoughts on other? We talked a little Georgia today. We'll continue to keep you updated on App State and Georgia Southern. What's our breakdown on that? Boy, I know I have been absolutely taking it on the chin in our bowl contest. I know I'm not even close. I don't know who's ahead, but it ain't me.
Walt's doing pretty good in it, I believe. I had a chance to just glance at it this morning, but yeah. Who knows?
I'm looking right now.
I know there's been a couple of games decided by – we had one that was on the number. We've had two that were decided by half a point. But, I mean, anybody can figure out these. Good luck. I mean, you're
– 7-5 App State in our contest. Oh, yeah, I've won 6 in the second batch and went 5-5 in the first one, so – 11 and way more than 11.
Let's move away from quarterback for a moment. Before we do, one last thing on quarterback. My approach on that for next year is that until the portal opens, there's no need to talk about this. We know. I can think of one person who doesn't think quarterback should be a priority. Every caller. Just about everybody on the air thinks quarterback in the portal needs to be a priority. So we're all in agreement. For me, there's no need to keep talking about quarterback until we see what happens. I think actually the elephant in the room might be at running back. And for Adam Randall this year, if every other player had the heart that he did, I think your record would have been much better. What he has been able to do has been phenomenal, and I think there is a place for Adam Randall in the NFL. But Adam Randall is still not really a running back. He can't be. He hasn't ever taken enough snaps. Guys that are running backs in college, for the most part, have done that since they were 8 years old. And that's not been Adam Randall. I mean, so you've got a wealth of experience to draw from. Clemson has not been able to run the ball effectively this year. And part of that is the running back. Part of that is the offensive line. And I don't care who your quarterback is next year or who your offensive coordinator is, you've got to have a running game, especially when you're playing in cold weather like that, like you were this weekend, and when the passing game breaks down, like a running game is the foundation of football in my mind on offense.
Dabo agrees with that.
And while I would agree and recognize that it is very much more of a pass-heavy offense versus what it used to be, a running game is still a foundational piece, and there's just no excuse not to have better options there. What you had a much more experienced offensive line, even with the injuries, than Penn State's defensive line in many cases in that game, and you could not run the ball. And you just have to be better there. And it's another place where you look at your current roster. I'm not sure that a championship caliber running back is on your roster right now. I want there to be. I want Gideon Davidson to be that guy. But there's been some flashes, but are you comfortable with that going into next year? I don't
know that I am. I'm for sure not. Can I give you a counterpoint on this before we go to Bill? Because I don't disagree with you, but I talked about the will of Penn State, that in the second half, they had the will and desire to run the ball. Do you know that if you take sacks out, that Clemson averaged slightly more yards per carry than Penn State did?
But But yes, but consider Penn State was doing it with a basically a brand new running back that did not
never
really,
no carries on the year
and yeah. and a second team at best offensive line.
My point with Clemson's offense, and you mentioned it could be an O-line thing, could be a running back. I just think the play caller doesn't really want to run the football.
Yeah.
If you want to be honest, I don't think Garrett Riley really wants to run the football. Because I watched a Penn State offensive staff that really wanted to run the football, and they did it with very similar per-carry results. And, as you mentioned, more personnel reasons to want to throw it to Pena and throw it to the receivers, even with the quarterback play.
Yeah.
And against the defense that you're going against, with the secondary, what they've been going through this year. I mean, you should want to throw the ball, and they wanted to run it anyway. And I don't think that Clemson this year has really ever just said, we want to and we're going to run the ball, and nobody's going to tell us we can't.
I agree with that. And, you know, our attention is always on a quarterback. He is the most important. That is the most important position. But that's not the only issue. And I think because the story of Adam Randall has been such a great story, and he's run the ball well despite his inexperience at times, but I don't feel like you've run it consistently with him or Davidson or anybody else that you put out there. I just don't think it, and I don't think Hammerhead would have run the ball any better.
I don't. I really don't. I mean, I agree with that.
I don't. I'm talking about Keith Adams Jr., who thinks he should, could have, and again, he should feel that way, even if he's right or wrong. That's something that just has to be addressed. 43 yards running and rushing in a game like that is that is so beyond what the standard needs to be. I mean, it just is.
It's totally unacceptable. It's
totally unacceptable
to run the ball with three senior offensive linemen and a senior running back. You've got old. That's what I'm saying. Like to Michael's phone call earlier, younger players messing up is a feature, not a bug of these bowl games. But the older players messing up ought not happen and like that.
Listen, I stood on that. I wasn't even going to say this. I stood on that field before the game. It was brutally cold. The field was hard as a rock. I talked to LaVon Kirkland. Where did LaVon Kirkland play his NFL career, Quark?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, not necessarily a warm climate. And LaVon is talking to us about how cold it is and how hard that field was. It was hard for both teams. I mean, he's in no way making this an excuse. But for Clemson, I don't know how much practice you had done in that. I mean, it's been unseasonably warm here. And so I'm thinking about how hard a football would be to catch. And if you had drops in that game and had not had drops, if that was the outlier, I would say, well, that's the reason. For Clemson wide receivers, you saw drops all year, or a lot of the year. So you can't just say, well, you can't just narrow it down to the weather. My point in all that is, when you're in a situation like that, running the ball is the thing that you can do, and you could not. I mean, that Penn State wanted to run the ball because I don't think they had – number one, I don't think they had any confidence in their quarterback to throw the ball.
Right.
He threw the ball better than Cade Klubnik, though. I mean, you see, like, their game plan fit the personnel and the climate. Clemson's did not because they just could not run the ball. Did I mention it was brutally cold?
Yes.
It really was cold. I'm not lying.
But,
it was
like,
cold.
Clemson, and I'm not even talking about dropbacks now, because Cade Klubnik also got sacked some. What did he get sacked? Four times? So if you just do that, not scrambles, because the longest run they had in the game was 13 yards. That was a scramble. That was a Cade Klubnik scramble. So let's just use those five plays. Let's add those to passes. That means that you called or executed 45 passes and 20 runs in sub-freezing temperatures. I'm sorry, just objectively speaking, what plan is that? That's not a successful plan. Penn State won the game because they had a plan to succeed. Clemson had a plan to run some stuff. I'm sorry. That's just not, whether it was checks at the line or calls from the box, it doesn't matter. That plan is not going to succeed. You got three wide receivers that you leaned on all year that aren't there. I mean, all your running backs were there. You didn't even try. I truly do believe this, because the texter said, Quack, are you seriously going to bring up we had more rushing yards to take away the sacks? It's not more rushing yards. It's more yards per carry. And really, it's the same. It's 3.9 to 4 yards. To my eye, it seemed like Clemson couldn't run the ball and Penn State could run the ball. But some of that is that Penn State tried to run it more. Clemson, it was just too easily persuaded to not run the ball. And whether there were good or bad reasons for that, it was a feature of this team, that they were easily persuaded not to run the ball. To your point about running backs, I agree with you 100% about running backs. But I also think if Clemson's offense, boy, I'm saying things right now I didn't know I was going to say today. What was Clemson's offense consistently good at all year?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things that I've thought about the last 48 hours too. Like, is there any type of identity on offense that I can point to this year?
Like, if you were, to me, how, in our minds, Bill, we're coming to you in a second. In our minds, we thought, much like we thought about safety, we knew, you knew, I knew, we all knew, running back and safety were positional issues. There were personal issues at running back and safety coming into the year. But you thought, if you can just get a pass rush with your elite front four, the safeties won't be as big of a factor. Well, when it turned out that the defensive line was pretty mediocre, then all of a sudden that safety becomes a glaring issue. Same with the running backs. When the receivers drop the ball and the quarterback's inconsistent, the O-line can't play, then all of a sudden the running backs become a bigger issue. But if you had consistently established the pass in all the ways we thought Clemson was going to be able to attack people in the passing game this year, then probably you're going to open up easier avenues to run the ball. And I truly believe this, that Clemson's primary issues this year were not that its weaknesses were weak. The primary issues were that its strengths weren't very strong on both sides of the ball. The things that were supposed to be the foundational pieces for a college football playoff run were defensive line of scrimmage, passing game. Those were not strong for this team.
I'm going to lower the bar here for you for a little bit.
Okay.
Going into next year, when I was going to say championship caliber. When I say that, I'm talking about ACC championship calendar, not national championship caliber. Is there any position group that you feel like this is can win, is good enough to win the ACC championship next year? There's only one that comes to mind for me.
Based on what you have right now, no portal,
just
any activity.
Just personnel.
I think linebacker. I liked what I saw. That's the one. Kobe McCloud and Jeremiah Alexander, I thought, played great. There was one play where Alexander got beat deep, but I thought he was in good position and the guy just made a play.
That is my honorable mention. I think perhaps you could be that at wide receiver.
I think wide receiver is that's the obvious one. The group that I was most impressed with in this game was the running backs. Or, I'm sorry, the linebackers, not right. Good Lord, no.
Yeah.
But the linebackers.
Sammy Brown knew he had to do more, and he did.
14 tackles. Season high for anybody.
And let me tell you what, he got cheated out of a couple. They miscounted on a couple.
Really? Oh, so that's going to be made up on the back
end. I started tracking that. there was a couple of half tackles in there that he should have had. Anyway.
Can I say, I truly did not think the defense – I thought the defensive line got tired, but I thought they actually played pretty well. I think defensive end is fine. Like, I think you can win with Lawson, Helt, maybe a portal guy, maybe. But even if you don't, with Mayo and Watford as your backup ends, I'm actually okay with that.
I didn't feel like you stopped the run between the tackles well enough this year. And if you couldn't do it with that personnel, I'm hesitant to think you're going to next year, but maybe I'll be wrong.
That's why I didn't say D-tackle, because I do have questions about D-tackle, especially with all these guys are hurt. Like Amari Adams got hurt and Stephylon Green got hurt, and these guys that you're counting on finish the season hurt. I need these guys to be healthy. All the other position groups, I got questions. I got major questions about. Let's go to Bill in Anderson, who's up with us next. What's up, Bill?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, I'm not sure exactly what the rules are, but I mean, comparing them to what high school recruiting to be, don't you think it would be advantageous for them to say that they have a rule that you cannot contact a player on another team until he is actually in the portal?
Bill, that's the rule now.
That's
my
the
man.
Rule right now. Yeah, that's the rule right
it
now.
Just nobody,
ignore it.
It's just nobody. I mean, if you if they're
openly ignored, what they ought to do is if you are caught contacting him, then you can't sign him. Period.
Well, that would be nice, Bill. I appreciate the phone call. We're up against the break. Thanks very much. That'd be nice, but the problem is there's no incentive for anybody to snitch on anybody at this point.
Yeah, and by the time the NCAA investigates it and rules on it, that guy's already gone. I mean, it's and now with agents are involved. I mean, their Coach X is probably not picking up the phone and calling the player directly. That's not how this is working. But they can talk to their agents, and they can talk hypotheticals all day, and they can hypothetically offer you $1.8 million if that particular guy goes into port. I mean, and that's what's there. It's tampering. I mean, we're calling it something else, but it's tampering, and there's no. You don't have a – there is a rule, but there is no rule if there's no punishment.
Right. And also, people are real smart. There's actually an article – we may talk about it some tomorrow. There's an article in The Athletic, and I just want to – I think I can pull this up real fast. The title of the article is basic. Oh, here it is. This is from Stuart Mandel on Saturday. The college football spending cap is brand new, and here's how schools already are ignoring it. Unless you think there are like two ways, there are like nine ways – that schools are getting around the spending cap, and none of them are, look how much money we have. Woohoo! Look how much money we have. Catch us if you can. It's not like that. It's all work. And it's the same thing. If I can tell my high school coach, or the agent can reach out to my high school coach, and my high school coach calls what I want to be my new coach and lets him know that I'm going to be available, and then he tells the high school coach who tells the agent who tells me, then everybody's got plausible deniability there. All the coach did was pick up the phone for a high school coach that he's probably dealt with before.
And, you know, and we got to go to break here. It happens in the NFL, too.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't happen as much as because there's punishment for it there. It's collectively bargained. There's a punishment for it. And if you're found out, there is a penalty. But it's still happening there. I mean, you're talking to agents. A lot of these guys have the same agent. I mean, when coaches have the same agents as players, too. And that's a lot of them right now. I mean, you're not ever going to stop it. But the first thing you have to do is be able to punish it. Right now, they just can't punish it.
Stay with us. 654 Roars the number. You want to get into the phones or on the Adams Curving text line. Hour 3 of the program continues next.
It's Christmas time in the Upstate, and what a great time for the Toyota of Easleyathon. With special rates and holiday bonus cash, it is time to put that new Toyota under your tree. A great example is the Toyota BZ. With 0% for 72 months and an extra $3,500 in bonus cash, you can be hauling your family around in style. Toyota of Easley, your one-stop shop for stylish vehicles at a great low price. Stop by 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway or shop online at toyotaofeasley.com.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo? We have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Peachoid Road, exit 90 on I-85.
Do you want to be part of a winning team? Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries and help people get back in the game. And best of all, they've been recognized as one of the country's best workplaces in manufacturing and production for 9 years. If you're looking to make a difference, learn new skills, and be part of an award-winning culture, check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-442-6054 today.
Looking for a scent that transforms your space? Light up your day with Buff City Soap's hand-poured candles and seasonal scents that you know and love. Made with plant-based soy wax and phthalate-free fragrances, Buff City Soap candles fill your home with long-lasting, clean-burning scent, never overwhelming, always unforgettable. From cozy and calm to bold and fresh, there's a Buff scent for every mood, and they make great gifts. Shop Buff City Soap today in Seneca at Hartwell Village or the shops at Green Ridge in Greenville.
At South State, we're committed to supporting the communities we serve. Whether you're buying your first home, renovating a fixer-upper, or starting fresh with new construction, South State is here to help. Our construction and renovation loans make it easier to turn just a house into your home. Ready to get started? Please call Alan White, NMLS, number 810-563, at 864-985-5235. Or visit our website at southstatebank.com/mortgage. All loans subject to credit approval and program guidelines. South State Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, hour number three continues out of bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead with you. You know, I said a lot of things right there about the offense this year. Let me say it a different way. And this is a little quarterback, but it's a little more holistic. Okay. I don't know if people are really aware of this. Clemson as an institution does very well monetarily. Full rev share. You've got lots of, Ipte does fine. You know, like, you've got lots of ways where you're doing fine. Like, you're competitive in the marketplace. Clemson's going to have money to spend on players in the portal or their roster or whatever.
Those are not excuses.
Correct. With that being said, they don't have a ton of institutional money lying around, particularly given that they are fully investing in rev share, to pay seven multi-million dollar buyouts and be able to invest the kind of money in the roster. Like, I kind of do think there's some either or going on there. So, like, if Clemson wanted to fire six coaches, which I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think they're going to fire six coaches. Let's say Clemson wanted to fire six coaches. It might be at a point in terms of what the budget looks like where they might go, then we might need to take a million or a million and a half off a rent. You know what I mean? Like, there's not just infinite resources to say, well, because Clemson is spending, like, as much money as some of these other programs, or at least in the ballpark of some of these other programs, that they also have money to spend millions on buyouts and also do the rev share thing and also get the corporate sponsorships with ventures and all that. I do think there's a little bit more, if you can do it cheaper, then cheaper might be better in a couple of... I'm not saying, like, they're not going to do anything. But, like, for example, Garrett Riley's expensive. Like, that would be an expensive buyout. There's a lot of people that want Garrett Riley. That is an expensive buyout. That might impact how much you can spend on a quarterback or running backs or receivers or whatever. Just institutionally, I don't think Clemson is just sitting on a mountain of cash that is undesignated. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting around waiting to pay millions of dollars of buyout money.
That's just a tough conversation because there's so much of that data that we just don't know.
Agreed. That's agreed. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You mentioned you want to talk about some other stuff with the game. I'm curious. How was Yankee Stadium, by the way? How was that experience?
I don't know what my expectations were, but they were exceeded. You know, putting a football field in a baseball stadium is just weird to begin with. I thought, like, is this not going to be very pleasing to the eye? But it was. I have not been in a lot of baseball parks. I will tell you that up front, or the current ones. But I sort of felt like Yankee Stadium was the equivalent to the Cowboys Stadium.
Oh wow!
It was what, a $2 billion building, $1.8 billion building, something like that. And it showed. I mean, it was built 2009, so there was parts of it that, you know, starting to look a little dated, as you would imagine. But yeah, it was phenomenal. And what I was most surprised about was the access that the teams had to the facility itself. Like, Clemson was in the Yankees locker room. They were in their clubhouse.
Oh, that's neat.
I mean, there were lockers in front of the player lockers.
I kind of wondered how that worked in the baseball stadium.
Dabo Swinney's game day office was in Aaron Boone's office.
Oh, wow.
I mean, his stuff is still on the shelves in there. I mean, there's some drinks in there, and there's some memorabilia in there. And, yeah, just, I don't know. I guess almost because you have to give them access, because you just don't, you know, you don't have other locker rooms and all. But that part of it was that was really neat. And that, like, their suite area and all this stuff was something. I was impressed. And you can also tell when they built the building, they did it with being able to host other things in mind, like infrastructure wise. They were wired for coaches' booths, which is normally a suite in the stadium. Like, the Clemson coaches were in what would have been the right field foul line. You know, they were really close to the foul pole where their suite was, but it was wired for that. I don't know. So it was a great experience, actually.
So what year did you say Yankee Stadium was? 2009?
Yes.
Because was this like the 15th Pinstripe Bowl? So they probably did build it with the idea we are going. Yeah. It wasn't just something they built the stadium and were like, we should do a bowl game here, and sort of had to retrofit stuff. I wonder if they did, if they built it with that, to your point, I wonder if they built it with that in mind. If the stuff, you know, if that stuff is all sort of permanent-ish that's in there like that. That's pretty cool.
It was, we called the game from the end zone, which was, we've never done that. We were literally behind home plate, and that was Don. I thought Don and Tim did a great job of being able to call the action. Don watched the game through, as most of us did, through binoculars. And when Clemson was on the end that set, like, would have been the outfield wall, I couldn't make out numbers without binoculars in some cases.
That's far.
That's a long way. So from a radio standpoint, it was a little difficult. But overall, they did a great job, and they were hospitable. And, you know, getting there is in New York terms, is easy. You know.
It's all relative, people.
It's all relative, yeah. But it's an easy stadium to get to. You know, You can see the subway from run outside the right field wall. I talked to a lot. There was a ton of Penn State people there. But there were actually more Clemson people than maybe I was expecting. And everybody I talked to just talked about having a great experience.
I wondered about that because, it did seem like the people that I knew that went had an awesome week. And I really didn't want what happened in the game to just make it a sour experience. But I think it was just, I mean, snow in New York, the week of Christmas. Golly, man, that's like, every Christmas movie's about that, you know? That's what you dream of. I've never been in New York City. And I for sure have never been during Christmas time. And I for sure want to go.
Oh, you've never been in New York?
I've never been in New York City, ever.
Yeah.
I would love to go.
That was my third trip this year.
Oh, do tell.
And I've had a good time every time.
Oh, man. Let's go to Tony, who's up with us next on the phone. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks for getting in.
Good. I got a whole week off. I don't know how to act, man. So I'm just sitting around listening to your show.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Enjoy that.
I know it, man. I get all my customers to stop calling out. Help. but I wanted to give you guys a call, man. Always enjoy your show, your perspective, and everything. And I'm just a longtime Clemson fan, like a lot of us, man. Just a fan, and wishing the best for the program. Don't want to see the ball coach go anywhere, but just want them to get it right, man. You know, it's a lot of money we're paying them. You know, you got to perform, I got to perform. You guys got to get ratings. I have to sell. He's got to perform. I think he knows that. But we'll definitely get to where we need to go a lot quicker with Dabo, without Dabo. So we're just praying and hoping that he will make the necessary changes and stuff like that. You got to remember these coaches see what we don't see. I was listening to you guys talk about the money. You know, Clemson's not. Now, I hope I'm not offending anybody or anything, but we're not sisters of the poor. That's what one of my friends say all the time.
That's right.
They got money and resources. A lot of it, man, it's just the way college football is right now. You got these players opting out. You give them $1 million. You know, I'm not going to play in the bowl game. You know, it's like NFL light. You know, if I pay you money, you should have to perform or just pay me back. You know, so it's messed up. And that's not Dabo's fault, but, you know, but he's a part of that, and that's got to be rough. But anyway, again, just hoping that they'll do the right thing and go get us some dogs, man. Go get some players with heart, you know, who want to be out there in the first place. I think we all saw that, man. It's like these guys, I'm not going to say they totally quit, but it looked like they got pretty close to it, you know, doing some of those games. So anyway, those are my comments. And 2025 is over with, and thank God for it. Looking forward to 2026, and go Tigers.
Thanks very much, Tony. Appreciate the phone call. Great perspective. Hope you enjoy the rest of the year. I will say the fan base, based on the interaction that I've had, and if you disagree, let us know. I think the fan base is cautiously optimistic that the changes will be made. And like I said, okay, I don't foresee Dabo burning the whole thing down. I don't think that's in his nature, nor do I think that needs to happen. I think there are fewer sacred cows than there should be at this point, or there are fewer sacred cows than there used to be, that are just untouchable aspects of the program. I've said that this was the most disappointing thing to me about Saturday's game. And it was not as much about the coaching and preparation and all this stuff. This is the most disappointing thing to me. Is simply this. I believe in the portal era, and I think everybody knows this. I think it would be wise for coaches to talk this way to their players. I think there are lots of coaches that do this. That if you are a backup, that you have to convince me that you could start and help me win right now. And if you can't, I can't sit idly by and wait to see if you become that level of player during the offseason. Because there's only a limited amount of time and opportunity that I have to get somebody in here that can compete. And your development into that player is going to take place after that window. Like, just from a business standpoint, that has to be clear to everybody. To me, there were very few players who had the opportunity to make that affirmative case to a coach that perhaps wants to believe in you more than every other coach in America. If you are on Clemson's roster, you are more untouchable wherever you are on the depth chart. You are more untouchable than every other player at that point in their depth chart in America. I feel very glad in saying that. I am convinced that that's true. And I watched very few players actually seize that opportunity. And that was very disappointing to me. That you did not have. And look, maybe you're not capable. Maybe you're not good enough. And maybe that's evidence that more needs to happen from a portal standpoint. But I truly did think that the easiest way to fix this is for some players who are going to have longer leashes than their peers at every other program in America to take advantage of that longer leash. And I felt that was a real letdown in this particular game.
The terrifying thing for me with that, Kwok, is that maybe they did their best.
Whew. Yeah.
Maybe they did their best. Maybe they gave the best effort and they tried. Maybe they did their best.
Which that speaks to three things. That's either poor acquisition evaluation, you didn't bring the right people, poor development, or poor preparation. That involves coaching, play calling during the week, et cetera. And if players are doing their best, then you either picked bad ones or picked the wrong ones. I don't want to say bad. That's a little dire. You picked the wrong ones or you didn't develop the right ones. You didn't prepare the right ones. And that it feels like there are a lot of not right ones out there. And I don't know if a different coach can turn a not right one into a right one. I don't know. I don't know if shipping out all the wrong ones, you're going to automatically bring in right ones. I think we'd be foolish to think that Clemson's going to bat 1,000 in the portal, however many people they bring in. That's why there's cautious optimism, is that there are opportunities to do what Virginia did, to do what Georgia Tech did, to do what Duke did, to do what these other schools did. That there are opportunities that others below Clemson's weight class have taken without having to break the bank on players to go and get better. And I think Clemson fans are cautiously optimistic that Dabo Swinney is going to put Clemson's resources to bear to go and do that. To what extent he does remains to be seen. Final segment of the program. Lots of things to get to. Not very much time after this.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
Give the gift of wow this year. Shop at Harrison's. They'll be all smiles and new Carhartt. Harriet has layers they'll love, and there's nothing merrier than a new pair of boots. Nobody has more boots than Harrison's, including Tecovas. In fact, Harrison's is the only place in the upstate you'll find Tecovas. Get gifts for the whole family at Harrison's, the home of Work, Western, and wow! Not sure what they'll love? Try Harrison's gift certificate. Come see us in Malden and Spartanburg or at harrisonsusa.com. Nothing says wow like a gift from Harrison's.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Missing shingles, granules in your gutters, or water staining on your ceiling are all warning signs, visual cues that your roof is in need of repair. The next time you check your mail or back out of your driveway, take a glance at your roof, make note of any damage, and call Adams & Co. Roofing for a free no-obligation roof inspection. Adams & Co. Roofing's expert team members will assess the damage and provide top-quality repairs if needed to keep your roof and everything under it safe and sound. Don't wait for a small issue to become a big problem. Call Adams & Co. Roofing today.
You know, it's not your fault that losing weight is getting harder and harder to do. You're eating better, you're making the right choices, you're moving more. But your body just isn't responding the way that it used to. It's not your willpower, it's the metabolism. For many people, years of dieting quietly slow the metabolic system down, so the more work you put in, the less progress you see. At PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and fix the root cause, not just count calories. I know because they helped me lose over 50 pounds on the program. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating the way that you want it to, call the professionals at PhD Weight Loss right now and mention "Fix My Weight Loss," and they'll unlock the New Year special for you. It's free, it's personalized, and it could explain everything that has been puzzling you in your weight loss journey. Call 864-644-1900 and say, "Fix my weight loss." That's 864-644-1900 or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
From kickoff to the final whistle, your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Say my share of broken halos, folding wings that used to fly. They've all gone.
Our final segment of the program. Thanks for joining us. We got Monday Night Football tonight. I got some women's basketball ACC action. I'm gonna be watching. I'll be watching SMU Virginia on the women's side tonight on ACC Network Extra. Doing a little advanced scouting for New Year's Day.
ESPN will have that alternate. I forget what it's called. That's got all the stats laid over the screen.
Can't wait.
We talked about. They'll have that on Monday, or on tonight rather.
You've seen the weirdness with the Falcons, right? That if the Falcons went out...
Have I seen the weirdness?
I mean, well, which weirdness is the answer, is right. The question. Which weirdness? If the Falcons went out, then I think the Panthers advance because of division record or something, because it would end up being a three-way tiebreaker. So the Panthers may... lose to the Bucks this weekend and still advance. I think that's what it is. They may lose to the Bucks this weekend and still advance if the Falcons win their next two games. Like, it's just, if this division couldn't get any dumber, we're staring down the barrel of that.
That would
right
be
now.
Just like the Falcons to beat the Rams tonight, too.
Oh, yeah.
Who
oh,
are,
yeah.
I mean, the Rams should be able to roll out their second team and win, but. It's football, man. The NFL's been kind of wacky, too.
Yesterday, there were a lot of interesting things that happened really over the whole weekend. But, I mean, yesterday, you have the Steelers, like, needing to win, and they score 6 in Cleveland against the Browns. That's just pitiful. Will Vandervoort's in here Saturday. He's yelling, "Go, Pack, go," for the Packers to beat the Ravens, and he doesn't realize that he's got to root for Malik Willis and Clayton Tune at quarterback.
And in that... The worst thing that could have happened for the Browns is they win that game.
Yes, and should he be trying? I thought so. The Giants beat the Raiders yesterday, and there's a Giants fan on the women's basketball staff. We were talking about it, and I told him I thought the Giants would lose for this reason. I think the team that's more likely to win is also the team that's more likely to effectively lose on purpose. So I like the Raiders here to like stumble into a win. It didn't happen because the Raiders basically told every good player they were hurt, including Max Crosby, who's like pissed about it, and he was doing like aerobics on social media. Did you see that? To prove that he's healthy, he's like on social media, like jumping and doing all kinds of stuff just to prove like I could have played. I'm fine. The team sent me home.
Wow.
Yeah.
One team that won again yesterday, the Jags.
Yeah, I know, Ben.
It's
another loss for the Colts.
You know, Quack, when I said that, I truly was not thinking about the Colts. I'm sorry about that. I don't think you can overstate the job Liam Cohen has done for the Jaguars.
I agree.
I mean, the turnaround is remarkable.
I saw a fun tweet. I can't remember who it was. Warren Sharp maybe tweeted this. Remember when he turned down the job, then they fired the GM, then he accepted the job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one of the great turnarounds in NFL history. The guy knew. Had a good head on his shoulders. He knew what the problem was. And he was not going to be blamed as the problem. if it went up in smoke. Good for him, man. Good for Trevor, too. I'll tell you what, Trevor Lawrence, even earlier this season, was being cast aside as not worth the money. They might need to move on, maybe consider a trade. It's not fitting. It's not working. The way he didn't even play great yesterday, but the way he has played down the stretch has shut everybody up about that.
Yeah, and when people were saying that earlier this year about Trevor, they weren't wrong necessarily.
No.
I mean, they weren't, but he's doing a better job of leading that team and playing well at the same time.
I agree with that. Let me see. I saw a stat on this. His QBR is a little bit lower because he ain't running much, but he's continued. Like, his splits, his month by month, I'm not able to pull him up right now real quick. What he's done down the stretch is absurd. All these other quarterbacks, and I know a lot of them are hurt, but all these other quarterbacks sort of dropping off or falling off, whatever. And Trevor Lawrence playing his best football right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. Absolutely, absolutely terrific. Do you have any final thoughts on the bowl game? Anything that's just you got to just get out there in our last 10 minutes or so?
Yes. A lot of fans were not happy with some of Coach Sweeney's comments related to graduation rates and molding young men. And, quote, personally, this is something that I have struggled with on how to feel about this for this entire season. And he says, quote, that's my calling in life. That's my purpose. I know everybody wants me to win football games, but it's about how I win. That's what matters to me more than anything. Always has. It's never been anything different. Never will be. That's my purpose in life. Glorify God, be a great husband and father, and use this platform of football and education to build great men through this game that we love. That's my calling. That's my purpose in life. That's never changed. Never going to change. Foundationally, I agree with what he's saying there, and I'm glad that he has recognized his calling in life. That is something that many, many people never realize. And the faith side of me, I'm glad that I'm grateful that he is who he is. But he's also a football coach. And I think you're being a little tone deaf to say that when you say that and to repeat that again. And so I understand fans being upset with that. And also understand that when you are winning 10-plus games a year, then being able to talk about those things is a fantastic. It's an extraordinary secondary feather in the cap. And it should be celebrated. It should be, hey, we're winning and we're doing this stuff. Am I okay, though, that I feel like your primary job is to win games, though?
Yes. I think that's true.
You are bringing people to school to be better football players and to win games. And if they happen to become better men, then that's just a bonus. But you're coming to win. You're not coming to Dabo Sweeney's reform school. And I, now more than ever, I think I understand why this is bothering fans. It did not bother me for the longest time, but when he continues to repeat it, I'm starting to wonder, and I think rightfully so, if the focus has shifted somehow. And I feel guilty for feeling that way. If I'm just being honest with you, I do. And I love that you were doing that. But I love that you were convicted about that. But your primary conviction as the head coach of Clemson football needs to be to win games.
I think you owe it to the – like, Dabo Sweeney's ultimate – he's ultimately accountable to his bosses and to the people in his building. I agree with what you're saying, because he's also now increasingly accountable to people who are paying to fund his roster.
Yeah.
Who are paying to fund his coaching staff.
Are you selling this to NIL people? Like, you're going to a millionaire? Are you going – I mean, really, is this part of the sales pitch?
It can't be because let me tell you this. A coach that graduates players and doesn't win is a fired coach.
And he is such a competitor in everything that he does. You've heard people say that. I can tell you that. I mean, I've seen it. He's such a competitive person. And in the back of my mind, I keep saying, but Ben, he's saying this, but he's really competitive and he wants to win. And I don't think he doesn't want. I mean, I firmly believe he wants to win. If I didn't think he wanted to win, I wouldn't support him as a head coach, and I fully support that. But I do think that you have to be careful how much you talk about that right now, because I think if a kid gets a degree, he's a better young man than when he came to school. And sometimes that's enough.
Well, I mean, think about this. We've ripped Kirby Smart because the average Georgia player doesn't graduate, but Kirby Smart's now on the hot seat. I'm not saying Dabo's on a hot seat, but I'm saying if Kirby Smart's win percentage was the graduation rate, Kirby Smart would not be – and if the graduation rate was the win percentage, Kirby Smart would not be the coach at Georgia. Coaches who are employed win football games, and they win at the level that the program is supported. They win at that level. From a fan standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, they win at that level. I think Clemson fans would like – for Clemson to start winning at the level of support. And you know what? That might require some re-education on what the level of support is. We've got back and forth on the Adams Corbin text line today with people who think that Clemson is at a certain level of NIL and people that think that Clemson has limitless resources and whatever. So maybe there needs to be a better understanding of where Clemson is in the landscape. And some of it is...
But you have to know the rest of the landscape.
That's
and,
right.
And you're not going to do that.
It's fuzzy. It's very fuzzy where Clemson is. But I think it is totally fair for Clemson to see Tony Elliott win 11 games at Virginia. To watch Brent Key beat Clemson and win 9 games at Georgia Tech. To watch Duke hoist an ACC championship trophy. To watch Ole Miss win 11 games and win double-digit games year after year after year after year. To watch Texas Tech just basically decide they're going to spend a bunch of money and go to the college football playoff and get a bye in the college football playoff. To watch Indiana just decide they're going to put resources into football. When you watch these other programs that are beneath your station, that are achieving in a way that you are no longer achieving on a consistent basis, it is fair for the people who are making financial sacrifices to ask what gives. And to those people, they are not paying to watch a graduation ceremony. They are not paying to watch a tutoring session. They're not paying to watch a life coach talk. They're not. And those things are great, and fans want that. But these people are paying to watch Clemson win football games.
And I'm okay with you making that important. In fact, I'm glad that you make it important. It cannot be the most important thing.
I do not want Dabo Swinney to stop caring about graduation rates and job placements and internships and character development and faith. And I don't want him to change on that because I don't think that's a satisfying way to work or live.
I'm with you. I do think, in my humble opinion, that you've got to be a little more selective and in tune with where you are right now when you say that, though. And the timing could not have been worse.
I agree. It landed with a thud on Saturday. No question. No question about it. App State's having a hard time, by the way. Having a real hard time with Georgia Southern. 10-0. They're not moving the ball. I need them to run the ball I need my boy to get 91 rushing yards.
You and I both took App State, so of course they're struggling. Quack.
I just need that.
There were signs, and we ignored them.
You know, I knew that Willie Fritz was going to beat it. There's a big long run. That's what I'm talking about. Give me a big 20-yard run. That's 22% of the total. Let's go, Wilson. I thought Willie Fritz was going to woodshed LSU. And the fact that we pushed on that, and Willie Fritz now 6-2 in bowl games. He's a green square, Ben. Green square in the spreadsheet. The fact that Willie Fritz didn't cover against the interim coach has bothered me for 2 days. And I should just be happy that Houston won the game. Georgia Tech, by the way, barely covered.
Barely.
Against BYU by half a point. I think it was 4.5 at some point. We got about 30 seconds left. We got to talk about some of these other games, too, by the way.
Let's do it tomorrow.
We'll do it tomorrow. Have you seen – oh, we got to tease this for tomorrow. Have you seen the super fun and totally stat-driven LSU-Minnesota side-by-side?
No.
Oh, Ben, you got to look at it. I'm going to send it to you. Oh, we got to talk about how LSU and Minnesota are the same. There's like 7 stats. The LSU and Minnesota are the same.